Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
When I was working as a mental health practitioner many years ago, feels like, you know, another life. It feels that long ago. I remember going to the Yu Yangs with some colleagues and some young people that we were working with. Has anyone been to the Yu Yangs? I'm sure, yes, most of us have been to the Yu Yangs. And it's beautiful there. But we thought, hey, be great. We were taking these young people out to who had, anxiety, depression, to get them out and doing something that was productive, safe socializing opportunities for them. And I remember on the way there, we got like a minibus and, you know, everyone was talking. They were so excited about the view and they were just excited about, they were saying how it was going to be easy, you know, yeah. Yeah. It was like, it's going to be awesome when we get to the top. And the conditions were great. It was spring, so it was a beautiful, it was sunny, and spirits were high at the beginning. And so we begin the climb, and after a while, some people started falling behind. They started even falling more behind. And, some had the will and the strength to continue, but others didn't. So we didn't get very far as a group because we decided to stay as a group. And we only partially got to see the view. Have you ever climbed a mountain? I don't climb any mountains. Yes, Roxy's our mountain climber. Yes, she loves climbing mountains. Well, everyone else but Roxy. We might start off because she's good at it. She's good at climbing mountains. We might get halfway up the mountain, three quarters of the mountain and go, why am I climbing a mountain? We might. Matt, they're married, by the way. So we might be like, why am I climbing this mountain? Once we get middle, three, quarters of the way, we experience doubt. Our bodies start to hurt. We get, start feeling exhausted. The conditions start to get at us. But the truth is this, the decision we make in that place, as we are progressing up that mountain, determines the outcome. If we continue and how we arrive, yeah? It's a good metaphor for our Christian walk, isn't it? Our walking with God. And so just like halfway or three quarters up the mountain, the in-between of life can be filled with hardship and pain and grief and anxiety and depression and uncertainty and disappointment and unmet expectations. And what these things do, they can disorient us. And so this is the reality of the middle of the mountain, the in-between seasons of life. You know, being in the middle of the mountain or three quarters up the way, we've ascended to a certain extent. But as we experience things in life, there is a possibility to get stuck in that place for a while, to lose focus, to be indecisive, or to give up, or at least, at the very least, want to give up. Yeah. And so the Bible tells us a story about pilgrims who would ascend to Jerusalem for three main festivals. It was Pentecost, Passover, and Booths. And Jerusalem sits at an elevation of apparently 2,500 feet. And so no matter where you were coming into Jerusalem from, you were ascending. You were ascending into Jerusalem. And so in the Bible, ascent refers to a literal upward journey, a physical elevation or a spiritual advancement towards God. So on the way to Jerusalem for these festivals, the pilgrims would sing and pray Psalms 120 to Psalms 134. These psalms are known to us as the Psalms of Ascent. Someone say the Psalms of Ascent. Yeah. So today we don't have a chance to dig through every single one of these psalms or else we'd be here until tomorrow because there's so many of them. But we're going to look through three because I really felt that it is a perspective that a lot of us need in this hour as I was praying for this word about the ascent. And so first off, at the center of the Psalms of Ascent is this idea of pilgrimage. Yeah. In the Bible, a pilgrimage is both a physical journey to a sacred holy place, you know, as the, you know, people were ascending into Jerusalem for these holy festivals, but it's also a spiritual, for us, it's a spiritual metaphor for our lives as followers of Jesus. And so pilgrimage represents a journey of faith, of obedience and dependence on God. It's reminding us that we're strangers and exiles on earth whose true home is in heaven. So if we are followers of Jesus in this room, it's accurate to say that we are on pilgrimage. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're on pilgrimage. Yeah. We are on a journey of growth. We're on a journey of growth with Jesus, and we're heading towards an ultimate arrival to our eternal home. And so as you read the Psalms of Ascent, which I, you know, encourage you to do in your own time, they tell a story. And so these 15 Psalms mirror the physical and spiritual journey of the pilgrim. So the first one we see in Psalm 120, it's that leaving home. The journey begins for them in a place of distress, in isolation, and living amongst hostile people. Then Psalms 121 to 125, it's the pilgrims fix their eyes on Jesus, seeking protection. They're expressing relief as they realize their help comes from the Lord. Yeah. Then Psalms 126 through to 132, arrival and joy. The travelers arrive in Jerusalem, reflecting on God's blessings and the importance of family and the joy of being in the house of the Lord, being together. 133 to 134, it culminates in songs about unity amongst the people and the blessings between the pilgrims and the temple priests. So it tells this beautiful story. And together these psalms tell us about what mattered to the pilgrims: staying faithful to God, trusting in God's protection, finding strength in community, and celebrating the joy of worship, of gathering for worship. And so the Songs of Ascent did more than just to describe the journey to Jerusalem. They shaped how the pilgrims were meant to experience it. And so when we read them as a whole, these psalms describe a spiritual journey from weariness and longing through trust and worship to joy and blessing. And this is a really important thing about the Psalms of Ascent. They remind us that faith is not just about arriving, but traveling faithfully along the way. Yep. And so if you look at them this way, the Songs of Ascent were like their road trip playlist. Does anyone make playlists for road trips? I do. Maybe I'm the only person. Oh, yep. Other people do. Good. So these songs were the soundtrack of their pilgrimage. And so this trip to Jerusalem is a metaphor for us today as believers about a life lived upwards towards God, moving from one level to another in our spiritual maturity, from earthly concerns to spiritual maturity. And this is the thing about these psalms. It wasn't just about their circumstances or what they were going through. These prayers trained the people to see the world as God saw it and to think like God thinks in order to see a greater perspective. And so remembering we are on pilgrimage reminds us that our lives have so much purpose and we're heading somewhere, even if it feels sometimes that it doesn't feel that way. If we look closely enough, we can see how far we've come, how far God has brought us, and it gives us faith and strength to continue for all that is to come. So how can we travel faithfully along the journey in pilgrimage? What helps us to continue ascending? And, you know, I felt like this is so on God's heart because George spoke about it in our pre-service prayer. The first thing we look at Psalm 120 is repentance. You know, this psalm expresses the pilgrims' deep grief and disillusionment with their current circumstances in the world. It's a psalm of lament. Lament is like a prayer of pain. And in this way, it's like lament is like a faithful and active response to pain through prayer. So we can, you know, oftentimes when I go through pain, I've complained, I've cried out, but this is the beautiful part of lament. It's an active and faithful response to pain through prayer. Yeah. And so we're going to read Psalm 120. It's going to come on the screen behind me. And it says this, and if you have your Bible, you can look it up. But it says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech and that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." And so you feel the distress of the psalmist, and you know, the distress was about words spoken about him that were lies and were full of deceit. And he asked God to deliver him, and then he speaks to the demise of that deceitful tongue. You know, there is a choice here that needs to be made by the psalmist. So he can let these things disorient him. That's one choice, and take him off path. Or it could lead him to seek God's presence. There's a choice here. And the lament is the first step in a change of mind and heart, in repentance. There's a clarity that comes from the lament for the psalmist. He's seeing things differently by turning away from other perspectives. And the clarity comes in remembering who God is and where he is going and where we are going with him. So when you think about Meshech, it was a place far away from Jerusalem. And it was, they say, it's home of a barbaric tribe. And Kedar was a wandering Bedouin tribe. And the psalmist in that moment, those two places couldn't be further away from each other, by the way, geographically, they say. The psalmist locates himself. This is what I mean. It gives him a deeper perspective, a different perspective. He locates himself and he realizes how far away he is from home. His heart longs for a place of peace, his home. So repentance is such an important part of our pilgrimage because it keeps us on track. You know, it keeps us in step with the Spirit. Repentance simply means to turn back, return, a change of mind. And so for us, the lies that we encounter on the ascent, it could encompass a whole gamut of things. Lies said to us, about God, about others, about ourselves, about our identity, about our purpose. It could be lots of things. And then for us, Meshech and Kedar represent our distance from God. These places, like I said, couldn't have been further away from each other. So if you think of the psalmist in this psalm, he feels displaced. And so in turning back, returning, experiencing a change of mind and heart, that space of repentance leads him back towards Jesus. The psalmist, he's yearning to find his home. Isn't that all of us? The turmoil, the grief we feel being in this world. It can propel us backwards or it can propel us forwards. And so there are different stages of our life journey where there are moments of possible disorientation. That's a given for us living in this world. If we haven't experienced those, we will. It's just a part of living in a fallen world. There's going to be times where we have more questions than answers. There's going to be times where we, you know, there's a limitation of our understanding. We have no idea what's happening. There are going to be times where our emotions are all over the place. And so these challenging moments can be times where we of change and growth, if we allow them to be. They have the ability, the potential to bring us closer to God and find comfort in him, wisdom and strength in him. And as that happens, we start to grow. We start to grow in our inner character, in our spirit, in emotionally and mentally. So this is the important thing to recognize about repentance. It isn't about feeling guilty or emotional. It's about making a choice. So it's choosing to think, to admit that we've been wrong in our thinking, that we could handle life on our own, or that we have all the answers and we're in control of everything. It's realizing that our own strength and knowledge and effort are not enough. not enough for the pilgrimage, not enough for the journey. And so repentance is choosing to trust God and realizing that we can't live the same way, thinking the same way, doing the same things, and expect a different relationship with God. It's deciding to follow Jesus and walk with him. Are you with me? Repentance. Second thing, repentance gives way to a new focus that helps us on our pilgrimage. We're going to go to Psalm 121. This is a well-known one. It says this, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You know, this one, this psalm in particular, not all of these psalms of ascent were composed by David, but this one in particular is believed to be composed by David. And he was feeling pretty hopeless when he composed this psalm. You know, I lift my eyes up to the hills. When you lift up your eyes to the hills, the focus could be anything, right? When we look up, what are we seeing? When we look up to the hills, we might see absolute chaos. We might see destruction. We might look up and see other hills that have the appearance of providing assurance and safety for us. We might not even see God right away. Even if, like David in Psalm 121, we know that God is the answer. But then David asks himself this question. It's such an important question for us to ask ourselves. He says this, from where does my help come from? He asks, where does my help come from? You know, when I meditate on this psalm, I really feel like it's David speaking to his soul. You know, just as he was greatly distressed in 1 Samuel 36 and he encouraged himself in the Lord, it's a crucial question that helps him to remember. Remember the promise. Remember who God is. Remember that there's a purpose. Remember that you're not hopeless. So for the pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem and for us today, this psalm is a promise. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life and the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forward. You know, Charles Spurgeon said this about this psalm. He said that the purposes of God, the divine attributes, the immutable promises, the covenant ordered in all things and sure, the providence, the predestination and proved faithfulness of the Lord. These are the hills to which we must lift up our eyes and from these our help must come. You know, as they sang this psalm of ascent, it became a prayer and a reminder of this promise. So when they looked up and remembered. As they remembered, it became their focus. You know, following Jesus means choosing to live by what we know is true about God, even when our feelings tell us a different story, even when others tell us a different story, even when the circumstances tell us a different story. Will we choose to live by what we know is true about God? It's getting quiet in here. Are you with me? And so, you know, when we think about an analogy of a ship, the ship lives in the water, yes? But the water doesn't, but it doesn't sink because it's in the water, yes? The ship only sinks if the water gets on the inside of it. It's the same way with our hearts. and the problems we experience. The problems around us don't have to defeat us unless they fill our hearts and steal our focus, because we will sink, and we will sink fast. So our feelings help us notice what's happening around us and inside us, and it's good. But they are not the best guide to tell us who God is. They are not the best guide to tell us how God feels towards us. Because you know what? Sometimes I have had feelings that tell me that God does not like me, does not love me, that I'm not worthy to receive his love. Yes? Anyone else in the room? Yes. Right? They're not the best guide. And so our confidence isn't built on how we feel from one day to the next, from one moment to the next. Our confidence is built on who God is. He's consistent, he's faithful, and he's unchanging. That's who our confidence is built on. And so when we read this psalm in Psalm 121, it offers us such a powerful assurance that when we, the faithful, keep our focus on the true source of our help, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, who never sleeps, we can trust that he will watch over us, that he will protect us, that he will provide shelter for us. But when our attention shifts away from God towards other mountains, or, you know, our focus shifts onto other things, we become vulnerable to ordinary pressures that are going to come. Dangers of life, challenges, all the things that come towards us. So this psalm calls us to keep our eyes on the Lord, continually lifting them up to the mountains, to in confident dependence on the one from whom our help comes from. It's not like a one and done. It's an every day. It's an every moment if we have to. I have been in seasons where every moment I have to, you know, drag my head up to see. No. I know who God is. I know who God is. Third thing, worship. We can't forget worship on these songs of ascent. Psalms of Ascent, because they didn't just read the Psalms on their way on their pilgrimage. They sang and they prayed them. And so these are songs of worship. We said they're songs of lament, they're songs of praise, they're songs of thanksgiving. So we're going to read Psalms 126. This is our last Psalms that we're focusing on today. It says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with sounds of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing sheaves with him.'" Isn't that a beautiful psalm? You know, they express the deep gratitude that the people were feeling towards God for all that he had done for them. But in this psalm, if we look closely, there are two different realities. So in verses 1-3, it's a looking back and remembering God's faithfulness. It recalls a moment that felt like a dream. And a lot of theologians think this moment was when the Israelites came out of returning from exile. We're returning from exile. So some theologians think it was this moment. So it was pure joy and laughter. Imagine trying to speak and the only thing that could come out was laughter and joy. That's what this describes. It was bubbling up and pouring over joy. Such was their joy bubbling up that the nation said, "Geez, God has done great things for them." These were heathen nations. They didn't believe in God. And the nation said, "God, look, God, their God has done amazing things for them." That's how incredible it was. So this is the reality. Okay, they were remembering back. In verses 4 and 6, 4 to 6, there's an acknowledgement of current suffering and difficulties and prayer for continued restoration. But there is a promise here. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. It doesn't gloss over or invalidate their pain because God is not a God who does that. Our God does not do that. It does not invalidate or not acknowledge their pain. Instead, there's a beautiful picture of sowing, tears sowing seeds. They are allowing the past to reframe the future in such a powerful way because two things can be true. God is good and we go through hard things. And you know, Pastor Dave and I have shared, I'm just going to take a sip of water. My hand shaking. I'm cold. I know Pastor Dave has shared this story many times and I have too. After we lost our baby, before we had Alexis, my eldest, he was just newly on staff at Bridge Church then. And our senior pastors, I love them so much, Pastor Dave and Pastor Sally, there was this thing that Pastor Dave always used to say, leaders fight for the front seat. So we were expected, even I wasn't on staff, but I was with Dave, to sit at the front. And we had just lost our baby and I don't want to go sit at the front. It's like, no way. Dave was like, just come, because he's going to come and ask us anyway. So, and so we went to the front and I felt so uncomfortable sitting up there, standing in my grief. Again, more questions than answers. Just kind of looking up and I don't know if I could see God at that time. I knew he was there. I knew the reality, like David, he was the answer. But when I looked up, I'd be honest, he wasn't the first thing I saw. But then, you know, they started worship and I couldn't control my tears. So once it stopped, it's just I couldn't stop it. And I was just having a moment up the front. And then during worship, a dear friend of mine who walked from across the room came up to me and she shared this beautiful prophetic word. And amongst the words she said, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. And she was right. I reaped twofold. Now my two babies. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. You know, Psalm 126 gives us an invitation to approach God exactly as we are, whether it's tears or shouts of joy. It's an invitation to remember past joy while simultaneously holding hope for more joy in the future. So looking back at how God has restored our fortunes and remembering the past is important for us as followers of Jesus. Because if we think of just what he's done for all of us, I can only speak to what God's done in my life. But if we would pass the mic around and everyone would share their story, there would be so much. We would be here for a month, more than a month, sharing about how God has restored our fortunes. But what he's done for all of humanity, he's done it in an extraordinary way because we were once spiritual exiles. The Bible says we were dead in our transgressions and sins, and we were objects of wrath. God was angry at us because of our rebellion against him and our sinful treatment of one another and his world. And that's where all of us were. We were all in this spiritual exile, far from the joyful relationship with God that we were created for. But then God did great things for us. For all of us, he sent his son so that we could come home. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross when he died. His death on the cross is the world's only hope. Because in his death, Jesus took God's punishment away from us and he put it on Jesus. through Jesus' death, we've been given full forgiveness. We've been given grace. You know, so in this psalm, there was a celebration of his past goodness and faithfulness, and it informed their present need of prayer. I'm going to say that again. There was a celebration of his past goodness and faithfulness that informed their present need of prayer. Worship creates in us a posture that makes it really difficult to give up. If we don't have this posture in our pilgrimage, being able to continue, being able to follow, being able to obey is going to be really hard for us. And so when we read the songs of ascent, it's also really important when we think about worship that they sang these songs together. So we can't miss how important it is for us as God's people to gather together and worship. You know, there's something so special, powerful that happens when we gather together in worship. We're encouraged and strengthened. God meets us in a powerful way. We're reminded that we're not alone. As we worship together in God's presence, He gives us a strength to keep going, to endure, to continue walking with Him. And even this morning, providing opportunities for us to repent, for us to turn around. It's so important that we gather together to worship. So important for our pilgrimage. Now, in these three psalms, we just read three, we see the realities and the complexities of the ascent. It's lament combined with repentance. It's focus combined with remembrance. And it's worship that's joy combined with tears. And this is the beautiful thing. We don't just experience God when we get to the top. We won't get to the top in this lifetime. That's the point. But you know what's so amazing? Is that every step of our ascent, God walks with us. Who else could say that? Which other religion could say that? Because a lot of people are walking up, ascending up a mountain to a hollow structure that has no power. Our God walks alongside us in the ascent. We ascend with Jesus beside us. And you know, just this week, I experienced this. And I was getting a bit disoriented by some things that were happening. And midweek on Wednesday, I felt the Lord gently come to me. And I felt like His kindness, you know, because it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us into repentance. And so I turned to Him and I just felt flooded with His love. I remembered His love. And His love became my focus. It wasn't any longer the things that I was seeing, the things that I was getting disoriented by. And I worshipped and I felt His presence. It just empowered me and it encouraged me. And I heard Him whisper to me. And then when I looked up again, everything changed. Everything looked different because I could see Jesus. I could see Him in you. I could see Him in my family, in my kids. I can see Him. And this is why these Psalms of Ascent are so important, because they show us, they teach us that keeping the destination clear in our minds and in front of us is crucial on our Christian walk. Because there are so many things that are pulling for our attention to distract us. There are so many things that are happening around us that are competing for our attention. But we're not nomads. We're pilgrims. And there's a big difference. A nomad is a wanderer with no permanent home. A pilgrim is someone who's on a deliberate spiritual journey towards a holy destination or a heavenly home. That's us. We're not a wanderer with no permanent home. We understand as pilgrims that we have to move by faith, and we understand that we have our true citizenship in heaven. Our feet are planted on this earth, but our citizenship is in heaven. And that helps us to remember to live differently, to move differently. And so when I felt the Lord speak this word to me this week to bring, I needed it first. So I went through that with the Lord, but I felt the Lord say that there are some in this room who are going to be here today that are feeling disoriented by stuff that's happening in the world, in the church, in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, your school, your relationships. And the Lord simply wants to come to each and every one of us. And He wants to show us and for us to receive His kindness that will lead us into repentance. He wants to renew and refresh our focus. So when we look up, we can worship Him because we can see Him. So why don't you close your eyes this morning? Just going to create some space. I know George did it at pre-service prayer. But I just want us to create some space to meet with the Lord this morning.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.